And I am Charlie. Good day to everybody. We are excited that you've come to join us for our exciting and important first podcast of 2008. Happy New Year, everybody, and Happy New Year, Uncle.
Happy New Year, Charlie. This is our inaugural podcast of 2008. I'm very excited.
That's right. There's just so much exciting stuff that is going on this year. That really, it's almost hard to tell where we should begin, Uncle, but I'll just let you start that ball rolling.
Yeah, we need to talk about the 25th anniversary collection of G.I. Joe's and the recent comic packs that I have very recently found online.
So you saw those online, no less?
Well, I originally saw them online, and I've been keeping abreast of them just with the second and third wave, but I found the first wave in retail at Target, no less.
Which is exciting, and which is something that we had seen at, I believe, histank.com, where one of the members of their boards actually appears to be a Target employee and had sort of the inside scoop about the resets that were to be taking place in the toy aisle on the 30th of December. And that until that time, Targets weren't really supposed to have any G.I. Joe shipped to them, but the reset would add space for the comic packs and would increase the peg count for the standard single carded figures and maybe even add some shelf space, I'm not sure, to accommodate the upcoming vehicles. What's interesting, Uncle, is that my local Target hasn't even bothered trying to do this reset yet. It's really lame, but I think you lucked out and your local Target was a little more on the ball.
Well, you know, prior to this, listeners might find it interesting. You know, Charlie was really on top of me, and he was using that wonderful guilt trip ability that he has about, you know, I don't have the Toys R Us near me, and it would be really great if you could get those comic packs, because I'm never going to be able to buy them. And so I was like, okay, and I went by to the normal Toys R Us that I've been going to for close to 20 years now, and there was just nothing. But the products that they did have on the shelves, it was just a mind-numbing assortment of items. Apparently now Toys R Us has Doctor Who stuff. Have you seen any of this, Charlie?
You know, that's funny that you mentioned that, because in Massachusetts just last weekend, I was able to pick up a couple Doctor Who figures at Toys R Us, and it got me kind of interested in that line, but I realized how large that line is with three series that they've done and lots of figures, and they're doing some serious Star Wars stuff, like really making variations off of characters that were hardly even in the show. And this is all off the new show, the ones that have been coming out in the last couple years. So I admit that I'm kind of interested in it, and you know, I've had a couple posts during the Christmas holiday on the preserve about the face of Bo and the doctor with the blue pinstripe suit that I picked up, and I actually was given the sonic screwdriver for Christmas, which is very exciting, because, you know, now I need to carry that in my pocket to go with my haircut, so it's good time. But yeah, it's interesting, and I also learned a new vocabulary word for you and all of our listeners. We all know about end caps, which are one of the greatest things in toy retail and all the fun stuff that can show up on an end cap.
Absolutely. Yeah,
you know, a Toys R Us employee referred to the side cap. And I don't know, Uncle, if you were familiar with the side cap.
I've actually never heard that term before. What does that mean?
Well, you know, Toys R Us seems to really make heavy use of this, and it's kind of irritating, where they have like a little strip of product kind of on the end of each aisle, and it's like next to the end cap. But it's not really, you know, the standard aisle shelf space. It's like a little set of pegs. And in at least in my experience, that's been where all the 25th anniversary figures have been ending up, on this side cap, which is this tiny little sliver of real estate that they've carved out, you know, for the five or six figures they ever have at one time. And so that's where the Doctor Who figures were also, was on this side cap, which is kind of like at a 90-degree angle to the end cap, but not the proper aisle. And I don't know, I've never really seen... I guess actually Target does have a couple of these, and in particular they had them in the toy aisle, and they had those weird Transformers lollipop, like, punching robots. I don't even know what they were.
Yeah.
And they had those on a side cap. So, you know, an interesting vocab word for all our listeners.
Well, you know, just to go back and talk about the Doctor Who merchandise for a second, Charlie, you're a bigger Doctor Who fan than I am, and that's, I guess, a personal problem of my own. I really have to jump on this new series because it's apparently phenomenal. With that being said, is it currently being broadcast on the Sci-Fi Channel?
I believe, and by, you got a little squeaking, in the, but you're sitting on a mouse or something there, Uncle. I don't know what's going on. So, in fact, the last, it's like a year behind. Like, whatever's on the Sci-Fi Channel is, like, last season in Britain. And I know that Helen, due to the magic of the internet, we were actually able to watch the current season, and I think they may be starting to broadcast that over here now. But it's usually kind of like a year or 6 months or something like that delayed. But they're definitely broadcasting the new ones, you know, on Sci-Fi. You're right.
See, the reason I bring that up, and I don't know what that noise is, but it's pretty annoying. Yeah, I think that's my voice coming through your computer, reamplified back to me.
Oh, that's good. That's a good thing.
Yeah, so the reason I bring it up is this reeks of, I just imagine Toys R Us having this Doctor Who merchandise and never actually putting it on any of the shelves.
Yeah.
And then, you know, basically saying, well, we have all the shelf space because during the Christmas season, everything was, you know, shipped and bought by the ravenous hordes,
yeah,
the seething masses. Let's get rid of this Doctor Who stuff. Because it doesn't actually look like there's a push to get the merchandise out there.
Yeah, it's just kind of, you know, put up off on the corner somewhere, and yeah, it doesn't seem like there's a big focus on it. I was surprised to find it there myself, and the only reason I noticed it was I saw a random figure was mixed in with the Transformers, and by I say the Transformers, what I mean is like the three, you know, tech roleplay whatever things that were left in the pillaged and decimated toy aisle that was Toys R Us. I said, oh, this is odd, Doctor Who, and so I actually had to find an employee because it was so well hidden, I was totally unable to find where the figures were.
So, yeah, no, strange things afoot at Toys R Us.
Yeah, but and you're right, Uncle. They definitely seem like cool figures. Like, they're pretty big. They have really neat design. They're fairly true to the characters in the show. So I definitely admit that I was intrigued, and I did buy one, and I feared it would be a Pandora's purchase. And then I subsequently found almost the entire line at a Newbury Comics the next day, and they were fairly reasonably priced. And that's actually where I bought the large Face of Bo figure, which was on sale, but, you know, there's so many, I decided, okay, since I'm already committed, and again, we're going to get into this in the podcast, but committed to the Indiana Jones line for 2008, committed to the G.I. Joe 25th anniversary figures, and Lord help me, also interested in whatever Hasbro's got up their sleeve for Transformers as far as the Allspark battles go. I did pick up a couple of the Allspark 2-pack Legend figures over the break. Those are kind of interesting. You know, I'm not sure about the animated series still. I probably ought to call that one off, even though everybody's very excited about it. So we'll see.
Well, you know, it's funny that you mentioned Newbury Comics, because the first time I actually saw those Doctor Who toys for retail in America was when we went to the Newbury Comics in the mall adjacent to BotCon.
Oh, of course, exactly, which is where I saw Face of Bo for the first time when a fellow bought it, and that was the last one in the store. So I was kind of pleased to find another one.
And one final question before we stop talking about Doctor Who. Do they have a TARDIS playset?
Oh, they sure do. They have a very large TARDIS that's properly scaled for the figures. It's very nice.
I need to buy one. I'm in dire need of a TARDIS.
I really, really wanted to buy one. And then they have a ridiculous gift box that's just so enticing, where it's this huge, ridiculously sized box that has, I think, every figure from the first series of toys in it. And it's like a gatefold, like a two gatefold in the front, and it looks like a giant TARDIS, and you open it up, and all the figures are, like, there in the bubble. It's very
nice. You know, in terms, again, we talk a lot about packaging here. That just seems like a phenomenal example of how to do a gift box.
Yeah,
packaging.
Yeah, and it was beautiful, and it was huge. It was, like, 2 feet tall, because there were, like, 10 figures, and the figures themselves are, like, 6-inch figures. And so it was like $80 or some such. It was still a discount over buying each figure individually, but it was a staggering price, a staggering number of figures, but a very cool set if one were going to actually buy the whole line.
You know, you have successfully piqued my interest. I'm going to go do an internet search after we finish this podcast.
You know, if I remember, yeah, I'll put a URL in the show notes if I remember to look it up. I found a place online. There's a bunch of kind of weird sellers that are actually have these toys in stock still. Big places like Big Bad Toy Store and whatnot, I think they're pretty much sold out, or else they're selling them for huge markups. But I found one random place that had almost every figure from all three series marked down a couple bucks below what they started at, which is a pretty great deal. So I'll see if I can add that to the show notes.
That's great. And something else, Charlie, that you mentioned, in terms of the Transformers animated, the new toy line coming up by Hasbro, I actually used my digital video recorder and on December 26th recorded Transform and Roll Out.
Oh, good job.
Which is the Transformers animated, it's the first three episodes all tied together on Cartoon Network.
Yes.
And, you know, I totally forgot the first time it was aired, but, you know, they re-aired it and I programmed it. And I watched pretty much 75% of it, and I really think you should watch it. So maybe during a later podcast, we can break that down.
I know. I'm really disappointed that we can't give a good discussion about it because where I was over the break did not have cable, and so therefore did not have that channel, and I've been unable to find a nefarious source online at which to watch it. But I would, you know, I am thrilled to hear your take on it, and I know you're reluctant to give that take until I'm on the same page as you.
Yeah, I think we'll save it just enough to say that friend of the Perry Game Preserve, David Kay,
yes,
supplies the voice of Optimus Prime and Bulkhead, I believe.
Ah.
And you know, it's always great to hear David Kay. I think he's such a huge talent. I mean, he was so nice at BotCon and such a cool guy that, you know, I can overlook the more annoying aspects of the show just to watch it.
Oh, excellent. Excellent. And for everybody who's listening, to see a picture of myself, the uncle, and David Kay, just look on the right-hand sidebar of the Preserve, and you'll see the new link to the conventions page. And that's a great picture of the three of us and Stan Bush, as if it weren't awesome enough.
Yeah. That picture, it's just teeming with awesomeness.
You know, and it's interesting what you mentioned about the voice work that he's providing, because I hearken back to Generation 1, where Peter Cullen provided the voice work for Optimus Prime and Ironhide. And it seems very much like Bulkhead is kind of the, you know, new school equivalent of Ironhide, having really not learned much about the show. That's how it feels. There's not an Ironhide character, is there?
Is there an Ironhide? No.
Because I think Bulkhead's kind of like the Ironhide, right? So now we've got, again, David Kay providing the voice for Optimus and Bulkhead, which is kind of an interesting choice.
You know, that's absolutely right. Now that you think about it, he has very an Ironhide-esque personality. You know, his name is Bulkhead.
Yeah.
He's big, bulky. He's got that strong, you know, strong guy thing going on.
That's how I saw it, you know.
But actually, it's a pretty strange take because all of the Autobots basically are not these war-hardened heroes. They basically were working on a, I don't know, almost like a maintenance crew on this ship, and they were repairing space bridges throughout the galaxy. And, of course, Optimus Prime finds this Allspark cube. And, you know, the Decepticons, led by Megatron, pick that up on the scanner and they chase after them. And, just because it's a different take, meaning that none of them are really warriors. They're all kind of like, you know, they're much more closer to civilians than they are to, like, these, what's the word I'm looking for? Like, you know, big bad soldier types.
So, yeah, well, as opposed to, like, people who are involved in the other side of some war.
Right. And the guy that they got to do, Ultra Magnus, actually has a brief cameo. And who does the voice of Ultra Magnus sounds almost identical to Robert Stack.
Oh, no kidding.
I thought that was a cool
That's
voice.
Exciting. That's exciting. Well, yeah. Uncle, we got to save this till we can do a proper proper discussion.
Absolutely. We'll save it until next time. But suffice to say, Charlie, and we've talked about this a lot, I started off saying to myself, I'm not buying any of the animated. I don't like their designs. I didn't even finish the three episodes, and now I'm starting to say, well, maybe I'll buy a so-and-so.
Oh, there it is.
And there it is. You know, it's just that synergy between cartoon and purchasing. Like, 25 years old, and I'm still falling for it.
That's all right, man. That just means it's a formula that works.
Yeah, no, it really is. And speaking of working formulas, Charlie, I actually bought a second copy of 25th Anniversary Stalker.
Did you? Excellent. I did as well yesterday.
Oh, so you found him as well, with the improved articulation.
With the improved articulation, correct.
And, you know, I had the regular, well, the first release with the regular,
the diaper hips, as they call it.
I didn't want to say it, I'm glad you did. Diaper. And, you know, now I'm going to open the one with the improved articulation and keep that one mint in package, just because the packaging is so great.
Very nice, very good choice.
And yet another thing that, again, I wish we could be on the same page about, the packaging for the just the order form for the Rescue Doc promotion.
Oh, man.
Sheer genius.
I'm so excited. So that means you've opened your two packs?
Absolutely. I opened the two of the two packs that I bought for myself. Of course, the three that I bought for you have not been opened, but they will be shipped shortly.
Oh, I'm very excited, because the sooner those get here, the sooner they can go up on the Preserve.
Absolutely, yeah, and as I wanted to say, I only got myself two because there was only one Duke versus Cobra Commander.
But that's touching, man. That really that's very, very kind. I'm very moved by your gesture.
Yeah, well, but the weird thing is, you had told me that the rare one was the Hawk Scarlet two pack.
Well, I'm not sure any of them are engineered to be rare. It was simply the one that seemed to be the most popular and sold out first.
Oh, okay.
I'm not sure what the case assortments. Yeah, I don't know what the case assortments are in particular.
All right.
But you know, you're right, it is an odd number, so there's going to have to be some sort of uneven case assortment, but I'm not sure how it breaks down. The time will tell. And the sad thing is, I might end up getting two such that I can keep one sealed and then actually open some up, play with the figures, read the comics, and then send away to save Doc, because that's got to happen.
You know, it's interesting. I was trolling the message boards today, rather, and I think that there's a special offer where you can use flag points
Yes.
trading for a doc instead of using the specific proof of purchases from the comic
That
coupon.
is correct. In fact, I guess that was discussed at the JoeCon that we missed attending. And interestingly enough, a market has sprung up on eBay of guys, you know, selling flag points from the old boxes.
And something else that's even more interesting is that Uncle saved all of his flag points
Oh, good
down the belt.
job.
So I haven't even begun to count through them, but I think I can definitely get at least one. I'm certain I have at least 50 flag points floating around.
That is super cool, Uncle. Nice job.
But you know, now it's just a matter of actually tracking them down.
Well,
And
yeah.
you know how problematic that can be.
Oh, I'm so familiar with that problem. This is true. So, and something we really haven't had a chance to cover because it's been about 3 or 4 weeks since we got to do an Uncle Cast Uncle is the announcement, as was first believe I believe posted over at CoolToyReview.com, of Hasbro's upcoming release plan for the year. And I've certainly mentioned it on the Preserve a few times because it's so exciting. And I know that you've read this as well, correct?
Yes, I have.
And you know, there's lots of stuff on there, and you know, my focus sometimes is a little narrow to the 3 or 4 series that I really focus on. But I think you could probably speak to some of their other announcements on that list. But in particular, what I was focusing on, and I know you love too, the tremendous assortment of Joe 25ths that are really slated for the upcoming year. Extremely exciting, and hopefully, you know, Target once again is going to be a huge partner with Hasbro in these releases in terms of doing store exclusives and hopefully actually keeping things in stock, you know, stuff like that. So beyond the Joes, all kinds of crazy Transformer stuff, and it just, you know, really tickles me to hear your admission mere moments ago that while at first you had condemned Transformers Animated to the lowest circle of non-purchasing hell, that you know, like 45 minutes into the preview, the you know, intro television show, you're already like, well, you know, I'm gonna stand in line, sign me up. So that's great. I'll feel less guilty when I buy the whole line now.
Well, you know, I certainly don't feel like I'm going to buy the whole line in any regard, just because you know how I feel about line completion. I mean, I basically feel it rewards lazy design.
Yeah, you're right. And it rewards the insane propensity for repaints that Hasbro is currently enjoying.
Absolutely. And, you know, it's like, oh, well, I got the whole line of Cybertron. Well, great. You know, you have three copies of some deluxes. Like,
Yeah.
unless the deluxe is really, 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 really awesome or has a really cool paint job, like, there's no reason for it. And so, you know, I feel like I don't know how bad the animated line is going to be with the repaints. I hope there's not too many of them. And if they do them, they're done sparingly and they're cool. But, you know, certainly, Charlie, have you seen the actual design of Ultra Magnus's vehicle mode?
For the animated toy?
Yes.
You know, I must have, but honestly, I can't remember it at this point. What's remarkable about
It's just phenomenally cool. And I
it?
hope it translates into an awesome toy. He's one of those Cold War era, kind of like missile trucks.
Yeah.
Do you know what I'm talking about?
Oh, like they
It
would
like
send down like the parade when all the soldiers and they're parading their missiles down in the you know,
And the
national front.
Kremlin in the Kremlin,
Yeah.
absolutely. Only he doesn't have a missile. It's this weird kind of angular troop transport type thing, and it's got like six wheels, and it just like I can't even speak.
Hey, wait, yeah, now, yeah, it's all coming back to me. Excellent.
The picture that I saw, Charlie, just oh man, it looks so awesome, and what a great vehicle mode for Ultra Magnus. You
Oh,
know,
definitely.
especially when you know when you go from the car carrier to the missile truck, and I also think it suits his character as well.
Absolutely. It's a much given the directions that character has gone in since, you know, he originally like became part of the canon. It's definitely a nice reimagining. That's a good call.
Yeah, so that's very exciting. I cannot wait for that toy to come out.
Is that
And
going to be a Voyager class, do you think?
You know, Charlie, I'm pulling for it. I really hope it's going to be a Voyager class, just because I don't think the Deluxe class will do it justice.
That's what I was thinking.
I really hope it's a Voyager, and I'm, you know, I hope its transformation is pretty cool and it's not too exaggerated in the robot mode. Because, you know, the aesthetic with Transformers Animated, it's a little more cartoony.
Yeah.
And, you know, less angles, more rounded lines, things like that. But I hope with just this one, they keep them kind of straight, with straight lines. I think that would also fit in with its established character in the cartoon.
Yeah, well, you know, you've seen the character now in the cartoon, and take or leave the design, you know, whether you like it or whether you don't, it does seem that they're being pretty true to the actual art in the show in terms of the toys. It seems like they've done a pretty amazing job of taking the toys and, like, making them look like the cartoon characters from what I've seen so far.
You know, and again, that's always, at least I remember being a kid, and when I would buy toys that looked nothing like their cartoon counterpart, I'd be pretty upset.
Yeah, let's evidence, you know, Ratchet and Ironhide.
Absolutely, who just had no heads and
yeah.
kind of gun station things, which...
Yeah,
which doesn't make sense to this day.
No, but amusingly, I guess now there's some group is reproducing little heads that you can stick on them or some such for the re-releases. It's fun stuff.
You know, something is fundamentally wrong when a third party
has to make the head
for a robot because there previously was none.
Well, you know, it's amusing, and I don't think as a child I even realized what the toy was trying to accomplish. But I guess there's a sticker that you put on the seat that is behind the chest window, and on that sticker is like this very crudely drawn hint of a face, and I guess you're supposed to, you know, put it on the seat, and it's like you're looking through the chest window and there's the head. And I know at least on one of my two original ones it's just totally upside down because I had no idea that's what it was supposed to be, but yeah, I guess that's what they were trying to do.
In any case, whatever they were trying to do clearly did not work.
No.
You know, I love Ironhide as much as the next guy, because he was so cool in the cartoon. But Hasbro, if you're listening to this, I don't know why you would be, but if you are, and you're a lead designer of the Transformers brand, please, in Classics 2.0, give us a proper Ratchet and Ironhide, please.
Absolutely.
Do that, because they need it, all right?
And in particular, if Hasui-san is listening to this, we know
yes,
that...
Yes, Hatsui-san, I hope everything is going well over in Tokyo, and you're designing a lot of new robots, but please make us... Make us Americans a proper Ironhide and Ratchet, because we need it, and they need it.
Absolutely, absolutely. And anybody who's listening who may not immediately know Hasui, who is one of the designers over with Takara, I believe, who is single-handedly responsible for a amazing amount of the product that we saw in 2007 that was, you know, licensed by Hasbro to be produced over here. So, in addition, if you'd like to see another fantastic picture, once again, of the uncle and myself with Hasui, go to the conventions page, click on the BotCon 2007 link, and it should bring up a picture where he just looks awesome, and we look, you know, like we look, and that's just how it is.
and it's pretty much a wrap. You know? Wow.
So, you know... There we go. We've got the G.I. Joe 25th, like, amazing onslaught of product that's coming. We've got, I think, what is going to be a year full of surprises with the Transformers franchise because of the resurgence in money and popularity. I think there's going to be stuff coming out we can't even imagine or expect at this point that hasn't nearly at all been announced yet. So that'll be interesting. And the last thing that was really fascinating to me on Hasbro's release chart there was the Indiana Jones figures. And I guess just because... I've always loved the indie franchise. I missed the figures the first time around just because they weren't in my kind of net of sci-fi sort of things that I was into. So I'm really excited about these figures. I've seen some of the promo shots from, I guess it was from Comic-Con, where some of them were revealed. And it's just going to be really cool. It sounds like a substantial line with vehicles and figures. So, you know, I'm looking forward to that one, Uncle. And I think I'm probably going to do that one up pretty solid and do some nice pictures on the preserve and really make a little hub for indie figures.
You know, Charlie, I agree with you 100%. I remember actually seeing Indiana Jones and the Last Crusade in the movie theaters and wondering for a long while in my young brain why they had zero toys.
Hey,
why
yeah.
they would not try and make it. There just wasn't any. And, you know, I also am a huge fan of the Indiana Jones franchise, and I've seen the pictures online of, I think, the first wave of figures. And like you, I think I'm going to get them all.
But oh, excellent.
The simple caveat, I'm not getting any of the new ones from the new movie.
Oh, okay.
My movie boycott continues, and it continues to the action figures, and I don't want the new ones you know, I don't want Shia LaBeouf slumming it up with Marion Ravenwood.
Yeah, I totally understand. Well, it's very, very similar to your take on the Star Wars franchise these days.
Yes, it's absolutely, it's not identical. Like, again, I got rid of all, I sold all my entire collection of Power of the Force 2. And if I was ever to go back, I'm not going to. I would only limit it to original trilogy stuff, and I wouldn't buy any of the, you know, the new stuff.
That's right. That's right. I think that's a noble goal, and I honestly was going to approach it the same way. I'm very excited about Raiders of the Lost Ark figures, which are going to come out first. I guess they're going to do Crystal Skull figures then, but they hint at, on this release, that probably Temple and Last Crusade figures will be forthcoming if the lines do well.
Well, let's just hope and pray that everyone else enjoys them as much as we do.
Hey, right.
We get all those figures that you've always wanted. As a kid.
That's absolutely right, Uncle. Well, look, I think we better segue into an intermission here, and we'll be back. Sound good?
Sounds great.
All right, everybody, we'll join you again in a minute. Everybody, we're back. Good to have you back. Thank you for joining us. Thanks for hanging around. So Uncle, of course, in the interim, since our last Uncle Cast, Christmas has come and gone, and as a matter of fact, New Year's has come and gone. Here we are on the shining cusp of, in fact, on the positive side of the cusp of the new year, and of course, in the post-holiday drama that exists, while the stores are still bare and the weather is still cold and the trucks are making their slow way to the loading docks, we all have a huge amount of new product that we can enjoy, or at least some amount of new product we can enjoy. So I figured we'd spend a few minutes maybe discussing the favorite things that resulted from this holiday season, either that others may have given us or selfishly we may have acquired for ourselves. So some of the things that I was going to talk about, most avid readers of the Preserve may have already seen posted in my frenzy of trying to get things online. One of the things that we discussed earlier, thanks to your bringing up of Doctor Who, is the Face of Beau figure. Very cool figure, pretty large, really neat sculpt, pretty accurate to the show. You can move its mouth and make it talk and tell the Doctor secrets. Very exciting. Also a Doctor figure, like a 6-inch one. There have been a few of him, I guess, but this is the one from the third series of toys where he's got like the pinstripe suit and the glasses or whatever, the ones that the ladies like. And also the Sonic Screwdriver little accessory that's like 1-to-1 scale, seems to be the right size. It's pretty cool. Comes with a little pad of psychic paper that the Doctor's fond of using. And I think it even has an invisible ink or a blacklight sort of attachment. You can write on the paper and put that on the end of the screwdriver.
That is awesome.
Yeah,
Charlie.
And then like wipe it clean when you're done. It's pretty cool. So it's a neat accessory. I'm going to put up some pictures of that soon. So, you know, got that. Also, totally a Pandora's purchase here. Like, I was at the point with Transformers where I really could have, you know, maybe turned and walked away after the huge, you know, collection that was built of the movie toys last last summer and fall and winter because of that Pandora's purchase. As you know, again, as I still remember the faithful day when you you pointed out that, oh, tomorrow, you know, it's the big release day for all the figures, and I'd just been totally out of it, wasn't following, and then that was it, slippery slope. But this was the natural break, you know. Even though Hasbro's done a great job of kind of bridging the two to really suck you right along, I could have probably drawn a line in the sand, said, all right, but no, they're going to get me, because they, hey, I've got all the deluxe, but now when I see the deluxe Allspark with Cliffjumper and with, I don't know, the other two, Landmine, there's a third one I'm forgetting now.
Now, Charlie, I'm a little bit confused. That Cliffjumper, isn't that just a repaint of Bumblebee?
Oh, it totally is, but, you know, it's Cliffjumper. He's awesome.
Wait, you buy a red Bumblebee because its name is Cliffjumper.
Hey, man, it's happened before, it'll happen again.
But does it have any remolded parts at all?
Oh, I doubt it.
Give them a new head?
I doubt it. Which, and of course, you're referring to back in the day, at least Cliffjumper and Bumblebee were different.
Absolutely. I mean, of course, they were tiny, tiny mini-bots. And,
yeah.
You know, while they were fun, they're really not great toys by any by any means at all.
Correct.
At least they had different car modes.
Yeah, I don't think that they are really very different at all. I'll have to see. I'm sure that once I've acquired Cliffjumper, I can give you a much more accurate description of it.
Absolutely, yeah, but I always think it's fascinating that, you know, they have you with this Allspark Battles line.
They really do. They really do. And I had gone to Toys R Us in Massachusetts looking for these comic 2-packs that you were just so good to secure for me, you know, where I found these Doctor Who figures. And they had, on these totally decimated shelves, they had two very surprising of the Legends class, so the little tiny guys of the 2-packs for those, and the Allspark Battles. And I got the one that has Cliffjumper in it, which is pretty fun. And they're actually both posted, like review pages are posted at the Preserve already, and I think they're still listed on the What's New section in the right-hand column, so listeners can go check those out. There are five of those 2-packs total in the new Allspark release, so we've got two of those up, we're looking for the other three. I think they're kind of hard to find so far, surprisingly. But
again, Charlie, I mean, don't you already have all these under the movie packaging? Every single Legends class?
Well, these are new Legends classes that are being... A couple of them are repaints, but I'd say over half of them are actually new molds for the Allspark.
Oh,
battle.
Okay.
Yeah.
At least you're getting new molds. I thought you were merely, you know, getting the same set over again in the new Allspark packaging.
No, it's a half and half on this, so at least it's somewhat legit. But I'll tell you, Uncle, where the real disaster is going to be some of this other Allspark stuff that you may have seen online. I've seen on the boards, there's a couple figures they're going to release, I think like Barricade and Bumblebee, where they've basically just taken the deluxe figure and they've splashed a little light blue paint on it in some really bad-looking spots, and they're going to resell it as like the special Allspark exclusive figure. I think they may even be Target exclusives, and they're totally going to get me because they come in the nice package like the Best Buy figures came in that have it in robot mode with a big picture window in the front so they look all nice to display. So yeah, those are total rip-offs. Hard, you know, really phoned it in on that one, and yet all the collectors are going to buy it. Yeah.
You're still going to buy every single one of them.
And you know what's worse still, and you've probably seen this also, but for our listeners who may have missed it, there's going to be a whole set of, a continuation rather, of the Metallic releases that have been coming out very slowly. Two of the Metallic repaints were the Best Buy exclusives.
The Best Buy exclusives,
yep.
Which you were nice enough to get me that Best Buy Ratchet,
right.
Which is currently underneath my bed.
Oh, excellent, that's right. And additionally, the RoboVision Prime that was a Target exclusive earlier in the year, I believe, is considered among that series. But they've recently announced that a tremendous number of them are going to be added to this line, the like premium Metallic repaint line, which is just way, way off the charts. It's ridiculous. It will necessitate rebuying a lot of the figures, and honestly, that's where the line should be drawn, but who's to say? So
I mean, again, who's to say? I think you're nuts. I really think you're crazy to go out and buy, like, what is his name? Ironhide, like, a fourth time, just because he has shiny black paint as opposed to black paint, but hey.
Well, you know, I'll tell you what, Uncle, if Hasbro is listening, we're tremendous fans of yours. We love telling the good word about your product and getting people excited about buying it, so feel free to send along any samples you like.
I take that back. I think Hasbro's Metallic repaints are phenomenally awesome. I would love to get some advanced samples sent to us that we can do advanced reviews for all of our listeners over here, and I think it's great. I think that's a great idea, Charlie.
Absolutely. It will simply increase their sales, you know, tenfold.
Especially with the audience audience that we have.
That's right,
Charlie.
That's right. Worldwide audience. We have listeners in Russia, in Australia, in Spain. It's great.
It's great. So yes, and those people, they really have to be dedicated.
Oh, they gotta talk about the work they gotta do.
I can only imagine how hard it is to actually acquire Transformers in countries like Russia and Australia.
Oh, absolutely.
And even Spain, based solely on distribution. I mean, we're very lucky living in the United States because, you know, we get a lot of stuff.
Absolutely, absolutely. And so, yeah, so that is, you know, some of the ridiculous line that's going to be coming out in the future. And I feel like rather than drawing that line in the sand that would have been smart to do, I bought these two little All Spark Battle 2 packs there at Toys R Us because they were out of G.I. Joe's, and I already feel the tendrils of Pandora, you know, circling around me.
What a great description.
Yeah.
And just for the benefit of our listeners and myself as well, the lines that you're going to be purchasing in 2008 is going to be Indiana Jones.
Yep.
Transformers All Spark.
Right.
Transformers Premium.
Yep.
G.I. Joe 25th Anniversary.
Correct.
Doctor Who.
Probably.
And are there any others that I'm missing?
Oh, certainly. You've left out the one that you've just shamefully admitted that you're going to purchase as well, which is Transformers Animated.
Oh, that's right. Transformers. And doesn't Classics 2.0 come out this year?
Oh, good Lord, Uncle. That's correct. We've entirely forgotten to discuss that.
The new Classics line. I believe if you're a member of the Transformers Collectors Club, and I certainly am, but I haven't gotten the newsletter from them. I don't know, maybe my subscription.
You get the preview comic book.
Yes, and apparently there's pictures of the Classics 2.0 Octane,
who
retains his triple changer status.
Very, very cool.
I think he's a truck, a robot, and what's his third form?
Well, he was a truck, a robot, and a tanker, he was a plane of some sort, a flying thing, because the metal sides of the tanker would fold down into wings.
Yeah, he's like an oil tanker, like a Boeing 747 or whatever,
yeah.
A robot.
Yeah, you got it. And Astrotrain in that series was so great, everybody has really high hopes for him.
Yeah, I do as well. Oh, and I didn't even... Speaking of classics, have you seen the pictures of the Takara Japanese repaints of the first series of classics?
No, I have not.
Well, you know, that again, add that to your list because they have a Megatron that's silver and black as opposed to the one we got.
Oh, no kidding.
Which was like purple and gray and black, you know, because the law in the United States of America is you cannot make toy guns that actually look like real firearms.
Of course.
You don't want young children getting killed. But, you know, in Japan... It's all, you know, they don't have those kind of laws, so I'm going to be looking to import that.
That is excellent, excellent news for me and for all of our listeners.
And I'm hoping that they continue the trend and do an anime repaint of Astro Train.
Oh, that would be nice.
You know, with the dark gray and the purple and all that stuff.
Absolutely.
It would be a nice counterpart to the one that we got from Hasbro USA, which also has its own unique color scheme.
Mm-hmm, which was a very nice and very attractive color scheme, but, you know, I'm always all about kind of the original stuff.
Well, it was because, you know, it actually was the color scheme of an actual shuttle.
Right, yes. Yeah.
You know, it looked like an actual NASA shuttle, so I dug that. Mm-hmm. But again, you know, I had talked earlier in the podcast about how I'm not a big fan of repaints, but again, that's not universal, you know, like the two different kinds of Astro Trains, I do that. Mm-hmm. More to have a... You know, realistic-looking shuttle mode, you know, that looks like the NASA space shuttle, and one based off the cartoon. Like, that, to me, is not at all gratuitous. It just has to make sense from a fan's perspective.
Absolutely. You have to take it on a case-by-case basis. You know, a blanket statement is never going to cover everything.
That's a perfect way to say it, a case-by-case basis. And, you know, and speaking of case-by-case basis, we also have the new BotCon series to worry about.
Oh, yeah.
BotCon, as you may or may not know, is in April of this year.
And everybody, you know, the uncle and I already have our hotel reserved, so we're going to see what happens.
We absolutely do. As Charlie put it, it's, what did you say? Lame insurance? Lameness insurance? So, you know, in case we decide not to go, you can always cancel a hotel room. And if we do go, we have the hotel.
That's right. It's just sitting there waiting.
But, you know, again, Transformers Collectors Club, they're really moving at the speed of molasses over there.
I got to make sure my membership is up to date. That's a really good thing that you've reminded me. And remind me and our listeners, Uncle, how the Transformers Collectors Club and the G.I. Joe Collectors Club tie together. Do you have to have two separate memberships? I kind of thought it was an umbrella, but I think those are two separate entities. Is that right?
They're both run by the same organization, Fun Publications, same people run all of it, but you do actually have to have one for each.
Okay.
So they hit you up on both.
They get you. Because, I mean, some of those Joe exclusives are really, really enticing.
You know, Charlie, you're absolutely right. They do pretty good jobs at the convention sets, but I have to give them flack for not showing anything so far in terms of what the 2008 convention set is going to be.
Oh, I see. Yeah, yeah.
It's January, okay? Your convention is in April. That's 3 months away, and you mean to tell me you can't even show one picture? That, to me, is not building interest in trying to keep things under the wraps. I just don't think they have their stuff together.
Oh, that's a good point. And, you know, and it's like, I think they largely do a good job. They're trying really hard, but it is kind of funny how, having, you know, met and interfaced with the people, you know, they're just like us. They're working hard. They're doing their best, but they don't have it all together by any means.
You know, I mean, okay, you have people, you know, that take off work, and this is their main vacation, and, you know, it's like a big deal to a lot of hardcore fans to attend this convention. You know, just work this stuff out in advance. I mean, this, in my mind, this is what you should have been doing September, October.
Oh, it's true.
And if the factory tells you, oh, we didn't get the model, sorry, you call them up every day and you pester them and you say, look, get your stuff together. We need to do this.
And now you're referring to the tank that got canceled.
Absolutely, and the, you know, again, you had people. You had a concept called Tanks for the Memories,
right? And which now doesn't have a tank,
right? Which has no tank. during the actual convention, the tanks. I don't know. They told fans the tanks weren't ready, but you know, we'll take pre-orders and we'll ship in November to December. November, December comes around. Sorry, part of the mold of the tank was broken. Now there's no tanks. We're going to refund you partially because we gave you figures of the tank drivers. And that, to me, that's unacceptable. Yeah. And, you know, as a paying member of the club, I have every right to voice that opinion. And I'm actually pretty surprised that more people haven't, you know, bashed the club on this
one. Yeah, I agree. People seemed willing to kind of forgive and forget on that one. But I think you're right that it's kind of an unfortunate indication of, like, a deeper problem. And I hope that they start sorting out some of those issues.
Absolutely. and again, I know it's not the club's fault.
But they could take steps to kind of guard against that. Like, if, you know, obviously, you know, there can always be problems, but it's a matter of risk management and just kind of thinking ahead about these things.
Absolutely. And I really thought it was, you know, my whole issue is to take orders for items that have not been mass produced.
Yeah, it's vaporware.
It's identical to vaporware. I don't think that's an ethical business practice.
Right.
I really think they dropped the ball at this one, and I'm surprised more people really aren't upset with that practice. But, you know, whatever.
And, you know, I think what's getting me is over at, and I hadn't realized this till I started looking around at yojo.com. They have an amazing archive of pictures of toys, of the whole Joe line. And I don't know if you've looked around in there, but it really is astonishing.
I remember back in the year 2000 when I, you know, first started college and I stumbled across Yo Joe, and just being able to look at every single action figure and vehicle and playset by year was just eye-opening. It's really a terrific website.
A great resource. And what blows my mind is just this afternoon I was there looking at the 25th anniversary page, and they've got all those exclusive figures up there. And here I'm thinking, yeah, you know, I've pretty much got the set. I got, you know, it's nice. I've got the retail set. But, hey, there's a whole lot of figures that are just totally out of my hands and are now commanding a tremendous premium. Like you mentioned, the Tanks for the Memories. And, of course, the Roddy Piper and the Gold Destro. Those are just, those are going to have to just be where they are.
But, again, Charlie, I mean, you're collecting the 25th anniversary, right?
Yeah.
So you shouldn't have any problem because all the exclusives are based on classic A Real American Hero molds from 82 to 94. So, you know. Conceivably, if you were not Charlie Parry, you could skip those out and say, well, you know, it's based off old sculpts and I'm not interested in the old sculpts.
Well, that's what's going to have to happen, so that's all right. But it was eye-opening for me to be kind of reminded about how many exclusives came out in the con this year, which was really impressive. Just, you know, ones that actually did happen was a lot.
Yeah, no, and I actually cherry-picked because I didn't feel like spending $270 on that entire set. I thought I wasn't really feeling the female Cobra Troopers with, like, the bondage gear back, ponytail. So I was like, whatever. And I just cherry picked. I probably bought like 4 or 5 of the Joes in the set and spent like $60 to $70 as opposed to $270.
Right.
I'm like, yeah,
right.
they're all great. I, you know, they're away now, so I don't have them in front of me. I think I got Zap, Clutch, and I don't know, a couple others. But yeah, those ones are really cool.
Nice. So, you know, basically it's just we're going to go forward with the retail. Hasbro's going to provide way more than enough interesting stuff to keep me busy with Joe's and the retail. But yes, you're right. I think it's really interesting at this point in the website's development for us to keep an eye on the convention exclusives for both of those lines, whether or not we end up being able to attend either convention, of course.
You know, that's a good point, because you know what happened with the 2007 BotCon set and the premium that I would consider absurd premium it reaches on eBay.
Yeah.
And it'll be interesting to see if they have another repeat performance. Personally, I don't think they're going to be able to.
I agree. I think it was
a perfect storm
of
factors that contributed to that set being so ridiculously wanted and valued. And I don't know, especially what I've seen with the whole, like, Autobots gone evil.
Yeah, you're so against that.
I don't know. I don't know. That seems pretty phoned in to me. And, you know, especially the G.I. Joe sets have been really creative in terms of mold choices and coming up with a cool story. Drive all these guys together, but evil Decepticons, I'm not really feeling
that. I mean, evil Autobots, yeah, exactly.
I'm sorry, evil Autobots. Decepticons are always evil.
That's right. Oh, what's that, Uncle?
Well, I was just going to say, who knows? Maybe there's some real good paint jobs to come out because of it.
Yeah, you know, I'll give it a look. You know, all we're doing is we're saying we're a little skeptical, but they also haven't told us much. So, you know, they got to tell us a little more and we can pass an informed judgment.
Absolutely, but again, this goes back to managerial things.
Yeah, they probably don't even know anymore.
No, not that they don't know, but I feel like if there was better communication from the club to its members about what was going on and the reasons for why things happened, I would feel much more optimistic than I currently do.
Right, I understand. Yeah.
You know, and especially with the tank situation, it's like now I'm, you know what I mean? I'm on guard. Now it's not a thing like, oh, wow, cool. It's less of a collaboration. It's more of a, you know, I'm on guard and I'm pretty skeptical and let's see what you got, you know?
Yeah, I see. Oh, and if any of our listeners have made it this far, thank you for staying with us. I amusingly figured that I should issue a correction to the beginning of the show where we told you it was Wednesday and I believe it's Tuesday.
Tuesday, isn't it? It's actually Tuesday.
Just in case somebody was confused. So.
Yes, no. Today is Tuesday.
There you go. So, well, that was definitely quite a segue based off of my Christmas acquisitions, which is excellent. And, you know, still hoping to find waves 4 and 5 before Hasbro moves on to the 2008 line of Joes and, you know, totally forgets those. Even though, as you've pointed out to me, I have the figures in the 5-pack battle packs. But I really am excited to get them on the single cards just because they're pretty. Can't resist. So Joe's, Indiana Jones, Transformers of all different flavors and excitements, 2008 plans aside. To finish up the Christmas acquisitions, we had the Doctor Who, we had the Allspark battles, we had a random figure that, again, could be a very dangerous Pandora's purchase, which was finding a Starbuck action figure from Battlestar Galactica. And it's, of course, a mold of, you know, Face Man from the A-Team, Dirk Benedict, and it's a pretty great mold. It actually looks something like him. It's all dynamically posed in the package. Great figure. For some reason, found it at Newbury Comics for $3, like mispriced. Who even knows?
Wow.
Yeah, because there was an Apollo right next to him for $10 or $11. Like, all right. So I got the Starbuck figure. He's great. I think from this line of figures, they didn't really release that many. It would be an easy line to collect, and I really like the figure, but they're hard to find. They're strangely hard to find. eBay doesn't have them. No online sellers have them. So kind of keeping an eye out for those now. I looked around a bit, and it seems there have actually been a lot of Titaniums released for the on the strength of the new Battlestar Galactica show that's on now. I really haven't been following those too closely, but I guess there's a lot of Galactica product out there. As usual, I'm more interested in the older stuff, or at least new product. And this figure is actually dating from 2005, so it was made a couple years ago. So newer product that focuses on the old series, that'll be fine, especially because I haven't watched the new series, so I don't have anything invested in it yet.
Yeah, It's interesting you mentioned it. I also have not watched the new series, but I believe it's been very well reviewed. People have said it's excellent.
I've heard that myself, and I embarrassingly admit that I have never watched all of the original series. I'm in the process of that now, just to feel like I've you know, seen that. I'd like to see that before I go on to the new series, and then we'll see if I can catch up a little bit.
Yeah, I never actually watched any episodes of the original, so I guess, I don't know, it was a bit before my time and all that.
Sure. No, that's pretty good stuff. I mean, you know, much like Ultraman, I guess some of it can seem dated, but I think what I've seen so far is pretty awesome.
Wow. All right, cool.
So now, Uncle, what'd you find under your tree?
Well, I asked for one thing for Christmas this year, and one thing only, and I did get it. I asked for Rock Band for the Xbox 360.
Fantastic.
And on Christmas morning, I spent about an hour opening the massive, giant box that contains all the components.
It is a glorious box that it comes in.
It comes with, you'd love it, Charlie, just the box alone is so huge, and yeah. So it comes with a drum set, one wired guitar that looks just like a Fender Stratocaster.
Okay.
And one wired microphone, and I've been playing it.
And a bass, right?
Amount. And it is everything that it purports to be and more.
All right.
It's just, it's a lot of fun. I mean, I even got my family to play with it.
No kidding.
It's the ultimate party game.
It sounds like.
It's so much fun. But there's other, you know, I took back other gifts that I had gotten, and I spent $100 on an Xbox 360 wireless adapter, because my Xbox is in the basement, and I have Apple Airport Extreme up in the second floor. And, of course, after spending $100 on the stupid adapter, the signal strength is not good enough to pick up on the adapter.
Oh, Uncle.
So it's just like one thing after the other. And the reason why I did that, Charlie, is because the 360 is going to have a feature with Rock Band where you can actually buy songs.
No kidding.
Online from the website to put, you know, and then you can play them in the game. It also, they have a head-to-head feature where you can play with various people. With and against various people all over Xbox Live.
Right, so anywhere in the world.
Anywhere in the world, exactly. I could play drums for my friend Swissgar.
That's
right. Plays lead guitar over Norway.
That's
and,
right.
You know, I really wanted to, you know, I've never set up Xbox Live or done any of that, and I really wanted to, you know, I want to get the full use out of Rock Band. So now, I don't know, sure, I got to call up Optimum Online, I got to see if maybe they can give me an internet through the cable that we get down in the basement.
Oh, jeez.
Because otherwise, it's just not going to happen.
Well, I hope you're going to take that adapter back and use that $100 towards, you know, some of the Indiana Jones figures.
I don't know, I think I'm just going to keep the adapter just to keep it, because I guess maybe, you know, when I do move out, which is going to be in 2008, by the way, when I get my own pad set up, you know, this way I can have it, you know. You know what I mean, Charlie.
Excellent.
I don't have to mess around with wires.
All right. No, I hear you.
But, yeah, another thing, I do need to get a second guitar because I only have one.
Now, it comes with a guitar and a bass, correct?
Wrong. It comes with one guitar.
Oh, no kidding. I thought there was a bass part to it as well.
Well, yeah, but it's the same exact controller. Like, one person plays lead guitar, one person plays bass, but it's the identical controller.
But so, okay, but does it come with those both controllers, or do you have to go buy an extra one?
No, you have to buy an extra one.
Oh, man, so it's not out of the box ready for four people.
No, it's only out of the box ready for three.
I see, I didn't know that. All right.
But apparently, the wireless guitar for Xbox 360 works with Rock Band. However, Rock Band's controller does not work with Guitar Hero 3.
Oh, that's sneaky.
So, I really want the wireless guitar. I think I'm just going to go buy it. I think they actually sell it separately for the 360.
They do.
Which is an invention that the Nintendo Wii has still not topped with. Because you cannot buy a second Guitar Hero guitar for the Nintendo Wii without also buying the game, which is silly and stupid.
That is kind of ridiculous.
Yeah, so I need that second guitar, and then I'll really be up to speed. And I'll be able to do four people at once.
That is excellent. It's exciting to hear that initial reviews for this are so positive. That's great that they didn't screw it up, and I can't wait to try it.
No, and like, you know, I've only unlocked something like 20 out of the 56 unlockable songs.
Wow.
So there's just a ton of replay value. It's, you know how in Guitar Hero you can buy new instruments?
Yeah.
And like you can kind of buy new costumes?
Yeah.
The customization level in this is just through the roof. I mean, there's different tops, there's different bottoms, there's different rings, accessories.
No way.
Sunglasses, there's a full hair salon you can adjust the skin tone. You can make makeup. You can make tattoos.
No way.
You can spend hours customizing your own rock star.
That's amazing.
With what they wear, their attitude, the different fashions. It's a lot of fun. You can also, of course, buy different instruments, which, you know, it's only cosmetic, but you can get, you know, different drum kits, and it's just there's so much stuff.
Oh, that is impressive. Well, Uncle, you and I have got to play this soon. I'm looking forward to it. That sounds awesome. It sounds like everything we hoped it would be, and just well executed. That's great. It's so nice when that happens.
Yeah, no, it's really, you know, it's so much fun. I've only done it with three people so far.
Yeah.
I haven't added that fourth yet because I don't have that guitar, but once I do, I will report back. I'm sure it's going to be even more fun with four.
That's fantastic. Well, Uncle, I'm thinking maybe if you're since you say that was Christmas in a nutshell, maybe it's time for us to break today and to bring our listeners some more exciting things next time.
Sounds good, Charlie.
All right, everybody. Well, thank you very much for joining us for this, our inaugural 2008 UncleCast. We hope that you've learned something. We always do. And we will be back in, we're going to say 2 weeks to bring you some more excellent updates about all the stuff that's happening. Uncle, thank you as always for your amazing opinion and your extremely informed knowledge about all of these different lines.
Thank you, Charlie.
All right, man. Well, look, I'll talk to you later. You have a good 2 weeks, Uncle.
You too.
All right, everybody. Take care. We'll see you then.
Good night.
Bye.